This interview with John Strong of Missouri State University was recorded in November 2008.
John Strong, I teach at Missouri State University. I teach incoming freshmen. We have a number of courses that are taught as general education courses, and specifically the Introduction to the Hebrew Bible. So every semester, probably about 75 to 100 of my students, and they're selecting this as one of their general education courses because it fits their schedule. They grew up in Catholic school. They think it'll be easy. About a third of them come to it, though, because they're personally interested. So that's one constituency. I then teach upper-level courses, 300-level, and those are majors. Those are students who are really into the topic, and they are taking biblical studies because this is something that they're kind of excited about, and they're measuring it against other classes. The third group of students that I'll teach is we have a master's program, and so I'm teaching master's level students. These are students who hope someday to go on to get a PhD, to be teachers themselves. And so those are the three constituencies that I teach.
And your area of research is?
It's Hebrew Bible, and specifically I focus more on the prophets, on Ezekiel.
And out of curiosity, how many ancient languages are you familiar with?
Ancient Hebrew, Greek, Syriac, Aramaic, Ugaritic.
What do you as a Bible scholar do? How do you spend your time? What does your work day look like?
Well, I would like to think... I do think that mainly what I do is have fun. I am fortunate that I'm employed working on my hobby. Now, more specifically, my time is split and my time competes against itself for teaching and for research. And the majority of that time is really spent on teaching, trying to prepare lesson plans, trying to write exams, trying to help prepare students for those exams, trying to grade those exams in such a way that students learn from their mistakes as opposed to just getting a grade. And teaching is a challenge. It is difficult to take a subject that I may understand or may have feel like I have a handle on, but then break it down and analyze it and so that I can communicate it to a student who's hearing it for the first time. So teaching is a challenge. It's interesting. The students are fun when they're energetic. They are frustrating when they're not energetic, and it's my fault. So that's and that happens. And it's but then in the research side, I feel like I'm an explorer, and I feel as though I have the opportunity to go back 2,500 years, 3,000 years, and enter into someone else's mind and try to put together and translate what they were thinking into a way that I can understand it, and then try and write that and communicate that so that I can enter into the dialogue of all of the other biblical scholars who are also trying to engage in capturing the thoughts of the ancient world.
So what kinds of materials are you working with? Are you reading texts in the original languages?
It's working a lot with the biblical text, of course, and that's the primary document, and that's the primary focus of the study. But even more, something that excites me is being able to look at some of the archaeological finds, some of the other texts that share a lot of the similar ideas, some of the other texts that differ from the biblical ideas and concepts. I think that I like seeing the material cultural remains. One of the things that I think is fun about biblical studies, there's so much variety in it. In the summers, I go to Israel and I excavate. And I also attend then the ASOR meeting and listen to archaeological papers. it's fascinating. And it's fascinating. The archaeology for me puts color and texture on the text. But the text for me really carries the ideas of the ancient world. And that's what I find so interesting. How is it that they wrestled with the exile, the destruction, the transcendence of God? How did they talk about the transcendence of God? Today in one of our sessions, we were all talking about grace and repentance and those kinds of concepts. And they talked about those concepts differently. They had different world experiences. It was a tough life back then.
Mm-hmm. So how do you, you had mentioned looking at different sources and being comparative. How do you adjudicate when you have sources with conflicting data? One archaeologist may say this dates to this period, another may say it dates to another period, and it matters which one you place it in as to which conclusion you draw.
That's why I keep coins and dice in my desk. I can just... I think that's the fun thing. For the most of the time, that's a fun part of the job, because then I get a look at the data and I get to weigh that data myself and say, why is it that I feel this is more probable or less probable? I think that it is frustrating at times when the opinions, when there are a myriad of opinions and the data seems to be overwhelming, and at times it's hard for me to say which data should I give the most weight to, which argument seems to place the weight correctly on a piece of data. But ultimately, I think the fun thing is that scholarship is a conversation. I think what a PhD sort of gives you is the right to enter into that conversation. I enter into the conversation. I send my articles off to be peer-reviewed. If the peers don't like it, if my arguments really don't wrestle with the data well enough, they write me back and tell me, try it again or forget it or something. So I like the fact that the conversation is refereed in that way.
Could you tell me a little bit more about what interests you in your research these days, and what's an interesting question for you or something that intrigues you or that, as you mentioned, is fun for you to pursue?
I think for me, in my research has always been tied very closely to the exile, the destruction of the temple, the concept of Yahweh being present in the temple or not, and how at various times and for various reasons, different theological streams understood the presence or absence in the temple, how they understood Yahweh being present or transcendent or absent in some fashion with the exilic community or what have you. I think that's very interesting. And those are the kinds of issues that the prophet Ezekiel wrestled with around the time of the exiles. And so I'm interested in that. I'm interested in to what extent was Ezekiel radical, and to what extent did Ezekiel rethink the theological traditions and enter something new, or to what extent was he conservative, and did he try to preserve the old and to get the nation through a tough period so they could return? And those are the sorts of ideas coming from the ancient world that I'm wrestling with and trying to explore.
And do you use methods from other fields when you contemplate those questions?
Or? That's the thing about biblical studies and religious studies as a whole, is that there are a number of different methods. And to a certain extent, I view myself as a historian, but it involves linguistic study. It involves dealing with grammar. It involves historical reconstruction. It involves archaeology and interpreting archaeological data. It involves, to a certain extent, sociology and economics, ancient politics, because the texts deal very strongly with the political machinations that were going on within the community, and also with the House of Israel and the other nations.
So are there certain qualities you would say behoove a Bible scholar that are well suited to being a Bible scholar, either of values or habits of mind?
Number one, I grew up in the church, and I grew up with an appreciation of the Bible. I teach in a secular setting now, and I enjoy the freedom that that gives me. But nevertheless, I still have and hold to this view that the biblical text and the ancient Israelite religion had a certain value to it, and that's important to me. I think another thing, though, is that curiosity. The thing that got me into biblical studies academically, as opposed to going into some other field and still reading my Bible and finding it interesting, the thing that got me is curiosity. When I was growing up, I was curious, and between the New Testament and the Old Testament, or the Hebrew Bible, the text that I was most curious about and that seemed strangest was the Hebrew Bible. So that's how I decided I'm going to explore the Hebrew Bible. And then when I started exploring the Hebrew Bible, I started finding that that prophet Ezekiel sure is a weird guy, and I don't understand him. Some of these other books I can understand a lot easier than Ezekiel.
Can you give me just an example of what would have jumped out at you?
I had no idea why in the world he had this crazy vision in chapter 1. I had no idea what in the world was going on with this glory departing in chapter 8 and chapter 10 and chapter 11. And the sign acts, even though I've never really picked up the sign acts that he did, like laying on his left side for so many days and then turning over to his right and being bound up and drawing the city on a brick and pretending like it's being, all of that was just crazy.
And what was the vision? I'm sorry, I don't remember. You
The vision in chapter 1 of the glory of Yahweh, and there's the smoke, and there's the light, and there are clouds, and there are these creatures with foreheads and wings and all of that. It was just, I didn't understand it. And so I was curious about it. But then when I started looking at Ezekiel, the thing that really got me curious was the oracles against the nations. Why in the world would this prophet be delivering oracles against these other nations? I don't think the other nations heard them, and if they did hear them, they probably didn't really care a whole lot. So what's that doing in there? And that's what I ended up doing my dissertation on. And the third point would be that there is fascination that sort of grows up when you start to see, for example, the image or the vision of the glory of Yahweh in Ezekiel 1 with the clouds and the creatures with four faces. When you start to see that imagery showing up and being echoed in the ancient Near Eastern iconography in Assyria and around Mesopotamia, and you start to see Ezekiel not borrowing or stealing or plagiarizing, but he's a part of that world and he is sculpting those ideas with his own twist, that is, it's satisfying and it's rewarding, and it rewards that curiosity. So,
mm-hmm. Is there a received wisdom about the Bible that you would like to shed a different light on?
I think the only thing that I tell my students right off the bat is that the biblical text, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, biblical text comes from a different time and a different worldview. And it still is dealing with the same kinds of concerns that we have today. People loved their children. They had to pay taxes. They worried about whether or not the crops were going to come in and there was going to be a drought and things like that. They worried about a lot of the same issues. But the way they expressed those issues, it was a different time historically, and it was a different place. It was a different culture. They used a different language. They had different images. And so I think it's important that people start to grasp those things historically, as opposed to translating the text too quickly into the modern era and saying, this is what it means. I'm very much one who wants to ask, what did it mean to Ezekiel before I start to ask myself, what might that mean to me?
So it sounds like you would agree the Bible or biblical studies has much to contribute to humanities.
Yeah. In speaking broadly, I see myself as a college professor. I hope that my students learn to engage themselves in our democracy in an intelligent way, and in a way that allows them to analyze the issues. And I'm not so concerned whether they analyze those issues and come down on a liberal or a conservative side of things, but I want them engaging the issues intelligently. I think that biblical studies is a part of that. I think that the beauty of a liberal arts college education is that college students, if they go through their college education right, if they really engage in that and don't turn it into just a series of tests and quizzes that they have to jump over, they engage in all that, I think they're going to gain a perspective on the economic aspects of humanity, on social aspects of humanity, on what we can learn from history. And biblical studies and the study of religion as a whole, that is a major part of the human experience, and it's a major part of understanding who humans are. And I think then it's got to show up, and it will show up in people's lives as they start to analyze and intelligently wrestle with the problems in our democracy today.